It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raiders need a wake-up call right now. If you don't progress and get better, they will cut you or trade you.
You don't throw the ball out of bounds when you're down 8.
There is no excuse for that. Everybody knows that my philosophy is to play faster. Don't huddle up when you don't need to huddle up. Make the plays simpler, run simpler plays, and run them faster. Run them until you're blue in the face, and don't leave practice until the janitor says we're closing the lights out. You guys got to go home. We're going to run it. We're going to run it. Give the ball to Devontae, Jacoby, and Hunter, and Michael Mayer. I don't care who the sixth receiver is.
JT the Brick.
Too many people are getting comfortable. Smarter, faster, more explosive players who are disruptors. Everything that you could read that was negative and wasn't positive in this game, I gave you in the first 5 minutes of the show, and I do it 5 days a week on my radio show. There's no sugarcoating here. You're a Raider fan. Act like it. Get behind the team.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back, JT. Final hour of the week, Friday. Big weekend in front of us, and we want to thank Modelo, proud partner of the show, the fighting spirit of Modelo. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of Modelos being consumed over the weekend with NASCAR, rugby, all the other events that are in town. I can't imagine how many concerts are in town, what's going on here, but I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited for the weekend. I'm excited for everything. Had a great day yesterday on the main stage of Fremont Street, introducing the coaches, and some of the star players turned out to be star rugby players in town. That's a lot of fun. And as we do every Friday in the final hour, we want to thank all of our partners who have been great to us, fantastic to us. Oh, and one other thing, I want to thank our team here, including our program director, Q, who's coming up next in an hour, for their coverage of the Combine. We had a lot of guests on from the Combine, from Vinny, Q, Levi Edwards, Jim Miller, Brett Spielberger. We had a lot of good guests on this week from the Combine, where the radio row there is. It's not a Super Bowl radio row, but it's an impressive radio row. And if Q doesn't go and bring the equipment and do it, we don't have that coverage there. That's what a real NFL flagship station does. So thanks to everybody with Q, the staff here, who put that all together. And I thought the programming was really good, from Vinny to what he did in Morning Drive to Q, and then the guests that they were able to get us that we were able to drop into this time slot. So I'm very grateful for all of that this week. Look, this week for me was kind of the abyss. It was the abyss of talking about Raiders content. We had Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco spoke, and then a bunch of players spoke about the Raiders, how they want to play with Max Crosby, mostly defensive tackles, cornerbacks, the quarterbacks who arrived earlier in the week and finally got to showcase themselves in meetings, more so than throwing, the defensive backs who are running earlier today. All that means a lot. All that means a lot. But remember, a lot of times the Raiders and all these teams are interviewing players that they'll never get. They'll never get, but you got to go through the interview process. The short 15, I think it's a 15-minute window. It might be 10. I believe it's 15 minutes. When you get an opportunity to sit down with a player, it's like a cattle call. They're coming through, and you got to find out if they have the attributes to become Raiders. And most of them say the same thing. I'd love to be a Raider. I'd love to be a Detroit Lion. I would love to be a Jacksonville Jaguar. They're all on stage, these young men, to be interviewed, to grow up, and prove that they could be a franchise player or a player that can help a team win a championship. And we saw a lot of that this week. I don't know what that means, but that's the job of Tom Telesco and his staff and his scouts at the Combine, to really mine down and dig into these athletes' heads, testing them, talking to them, and to see where they're going to fit in. Because that could be the difference in a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick coming in and starting for the Raiders. So defensive tackle, as I said, is a necessity. Because the defensive tackles that have been drafted here and had an opportunity to compete have just not popped. Doesn't mean they're not good players and they can play in this league, right? Mo Hurst ended up leaving the Raiders playing in this league. There's been other defensive tackles and players who have left the Raiders and are starting on other teams. But for me, the issue is, if you're going to go defensive tackle, you got to get one in the first round. Okay, you got to go big and get a defensive tackle or a free agent who's going to start. As I've been telling you all week, I'm more into free agency this year than I have been in years past, because the money is big. The money is in favor of the Raiders. The Raiders got a break with this Jimmy Garoppolo deal with $10 million more dollars. I don't know how exactly that's going to go into the cap, assuming Hunter Renfro news and Jimmy G on the way out. Other players, not some players aren't going to come back. Some players are going to be released, or some players are potential trade. players along the way, but let's stick with the roster that we have today on Friday and wonder what the Raiders are going to do. So I put out the list of quarterbacks the other day, and that's really the low-hanging fruit that's going to get Raider Nation really involved here over the next month. As we wrap up the combine, pro days and workouts, and what's going to happen there. And I think it's going to be really important for the quarterback quandary, the scenario at quarterback, to be figured out pretty quickly here. That will be the job of Tom Telesco, who I think is really good at that. And on his resume, he has Justin Herbert. And that's good enough for me. It's on the resume. That means he's had success at the quarterback position. But as I put together the list earlier in the week and got a lot of people, how many views on this thing here today? Let me double check here. Over 50,000 views on this tweet about the Raiders quarterback from Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, and the names that you've added throughout the week on this list and who you think is good. Spencer Rattler is the biggest surprise for me, the South Carolina quarterback, who was the quarterback at Oklahoma and one of the highest ranked high school quarterbacks when he went to Oklahoma. He got benched for Caleb Williams. Well, look, Caleb Williams is the best. So Spencer Rattler got benched by Lincoln Riley, by the way. And I was at the first ever game that he played and threw for 6 touchdowns. Spencer Rattler's a good player. But I think there's a lot to work on with him. He could be reckless at times with the ball. He's fast. He can run. Big arm. Tries to put it in holes, you know, where there could be 3 cornerbacks there. But I think Spencer Rattler has tremendous talent. And if the Raiders took him in the second round or third round with a grade, that's a grade where I would have him. I wouldn't have him as a first-round grade. But what happens if these quarterbacks start flying off the board? Gardner Minshew. A lot of people came into my Twitter timeline and said, take out Tannehill and put in Gardner Minshew. Yeah, Gardner Minshew's good at beating the Raiders. He's tough. He's got that swagger. That mustache, he looks like a Raider. So does Baker Mayfield. Anybody will look like a Raider if you let them grow out their stubble on their beard and let them have that bravado. Anybody here could be a Raider. But I agree, I'm not a Tannehill fan, but he's a veteran. And if you're going to draft a young quarterback, say the Raiders do trade up into the top 3 and get Jaden Daniels, you have to have Aiden O'Connell, Jaden Daniels, or if it's J.J. McCarthy, Aiden O'Connell, you got to have a veteran. You got to have a veteran you can count on. And look, a veteran you can count on would be Ryan Tannehill or Gardner Minshew. So the Raider quarterback situation is going to be big. And for those who talk about Tyrod Taylor, that's interesting as a veteran because Tyrod Taylor can run. He's a competitor. He gets banged up and hurt a lot, but he played for Tom Telesco with the Chargers. That was a name. And then the real Falcon408 tweeted at me today. He said, JT, Mac Jones will probably be traded for very cheap. I agree with that. If Josh McDaniels was still here, that'd be the guy. Believe me, that would be the guy. Josh McDaniels isn't here. But Mac Jones, I never thought had a big ceiling, but a good player, really good player, and played well his first year in the league, and he seems to be on the downside. I've had a lot of people talk about Trey Lance. Trey Lance, or is he a bust? Look, the Cowboys swung on that one, and they got to figure out what they're going to do with Dak. And I think Trey Lance I don't think Jerry Jones is going to let him go. So there's been a lot. Oh, and Jacoby Brissett. Let me get to Jacoby Brissett one more time. That's part of that New England tree in a way and what he's done there. And again, if McDaniels was here possibly, I don't think he is the answer going forward. But Kirk Cousins was the one I got the most. And then the lightning rod all week, the lightning rod was Russell Wilson. So I wanted to say this one more time to wrap up the week, because we have Ty Gibbs who's going to join us next. Joe Gibbs' grandson, he's racing in the race coming up here on Sunday, so I got to make sure I get out here so we can get to him as he's going to be calling in. The thing I want to be clear about with Russell Wilson again is I don't think Russell Wilson's coming here, but I think he's deserving of being a quarterback for the Raiders for a veteran minimum or $20 million a year. Remember, Russell Wilson's money is guaranteed by Denver. Guaranteed by Denver, and the Raiders are going to get him for a much cheaper price if they get him. And if he actually agrees to play for the veteran minimum of $1.9 million, oh my God, that is the greatest quarterback deal, I think, in Raider history. I mean, you get a future Hall of Famer still. I would say he's at the end of his prime, but had better numbers last year than you think he did. He did. Go look at him. I've had him here all week. And he could come in and the Raiders would instantly be a playoff team with Russell Wilson at quarterback. And that intrigues me, but only if he's playing on the minimum. And then if you do draft a young quarterback, such as a Jaden Daniels or someone else, and you're lucky enough to move up and get the quarterback, or you're fortunate enough to get the quarterback, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, if those are the guys you want, you could have a guy like Russell Wilson, who's one of the toughest practice players you've ever seen, and workaholics in this league. You might not like him. You don't know that he's a good locker room guy or not. You have no clue, but the guy has a track record here. So people will ask me, what's the percentage of Russell Wilson coming here? I don't know, 20%? 10%. Everybody's talking about Atlanta and Pittsburgh. If Russell Wilson is good enough to go to Pittsburgh, a team that almost makes the playoffs every year, I would take offense if Raider fans didn't say, well, he could come here too. Because if Pittsburgh does this deal and he's playing in Pittsburgh, I'm coming back at everybody on this show who said he's a bust. So how could he go to Pitt? How could he go anywhere? Because it's a deal. It's a real estate deal. It's a $5 million house for $900,000. It's a $3 million house for $200,000. You do the deal. So again, I am not a fan of Russell Wilson. I'm a fan of the Raiders winning football games, and they need a quarterback or two in the room with Aiden O'Connell. And we knew from hearing what Antonio Pierce had to say today and what Levi Edwards tweeted out when he came on with us, he's comfortable with Aiden O'Connell. Nothing wrong with that. Remember, Antonio Pierce is not the head coach of the Raiders. No chance he's the head coach if Aiden O'Connell doesn't win him games. Brian Hoyer couldn't have done it. Jimmy G couldn't do it and was hurt. I thought Jimmy G should have came in relief in some of those games. I'll stand by that. I talked about that with Coach, asked him the question. If Jimmy G came off the bench for the Minnesota game and won the Minnesota game, we might be talking about the Raiders in the playoffs last year. It didn't happen. They stuck with Aiden O'Connell then. It's no surprise that Antonio Pierce is loyal to Aiden O'Connell. He helped them get the job. Antonio Pierce went 5-4 down the stretch and beat Kansas City. If he went 3-6 down the stretch, he's not the coach. So I understand why the head coach now, who's not the interim coach, is loyal to Aiden O'Connell. This guy, Antonio Pierce, is a really loyal guy. And he's talking a lot, and he's really confident, and I like it. For those who can't handle this coach, you think he's talking too much, you think he's telling everybody about how great the Raiders are, what they want to do with the Mahomes rules, what he wants to do in the draft, is he leaking the fact that they want to move up? This guy's talking, and I'm in the business of communication. I love the fact that he's giving us content. He's confident, yeah, a little bit cocky. He played in the league and won a Super Bowl. He has the right to do that, and he's the head coach of the Silver and Black. So we'll jump into a NASCAR conversation coming up quickly. I know a lot of people are going to NASCAR. I hope you do. Ty Gibbs will join us on the other side, 702-365-9200. Hey, remember, we have the contest, $2,024 every day. Okay, this is a big contest we're doing here. It's the same phone number. You just got to text in. 702-365-9200 is the number. And as we're looking at February, the extra day in February, and on March 1st, which as we sit here on a Friday on March 1st, the keyword is chip, C-H-I-P, which young fans say now, I want a chip. That means you want a ring, you want a championship, I want a chip. That's the code word, 702, you just know our number here, 702-365-9200. Text that, Bobby will put you in the system here. And we'll have an opportunity to see if you can win $2,024. Thanks to Lotus Broadcasting and Raider Nation Radio. Beautiful Friday here. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Listening to our flagship, Q at the top of the hour. This is Raider Nation Radio. JT back with you as we continue here on Raider Nation Radio. NASCAR's in town. Big weekend, obviously, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday, the cup race. I'll be at it. Ty Gibbs is kind enough to join us. And Ty, let's begin. Unbelievable race in Atlanta. Ended three wide, photo finish. You were there in the top 10. How exciting was that for you to avoid the big one and be in the hunt late?
It was It was good. That race is a mess for sure. So being able to finish it 10th is good for points and for the big picture of the year.
Yeah, it just seemed to be wild again. You know, Daytona ends under caution, and Atlanta was just wild with all the cautions and the restarts and then down the – what is it like for you when you're in the pack and you know you got a chance, but the only way you can win this thing and get into the top three is you got to get through a bunch of cars and avoid the big one? What is your philosophy when you're in that position?
You just got to stay in position and get to the end of the race, because usually these races are wreck fest anyways, and I guess that's what everybody asked for. So
yeah.
Just be able to get in position for the end of the race, and with the way the package is now, it changes a lot. So can't really pass that much anymore. So it's really a race just to get in contention to win.
Ty Gibbs joins us. Do you like the super speedways more than the short track? What's your specialty?
Yeah, definitely not. I love all the other types of forms of racing, but the speedways is definitely the bottom of the list for me.
Oh, is it? So I want to get into that for a bit. So the bump, you know, the bump dragon, trying to, you know, go out on a train and get help from other teammates to try to pass, all of that stuff is just something that you're learning to do better, or it's just the short track is just something that's always been a part of your DNA?
It just kind of changes. I grew up racing on short track, mm-hmm. So it's something that I enjoy. But I mean, I enjoy all types of racing, and every way. So, the speedways are usually a wreck fest, and you kind of just have to make it through. It's just a different form of racing.
Got you there. With your success that you had in the Infinity Series, what's your background with Las Vegas Motor Speedway? What do you like about our track here in Vegas?
Yeah, I really enjoy Vegas. A lot. It's a really great track. It's got all different types of lines and stuff. You can run everywhere, so it's a fun track, and it's a good one. It's a really good track for passing. So it's something I enjoy.
Ty Gibbs joins us. Joe Gibbs Racing. His grandfather is the legend, Joe Gibbs. We'll get into that momentarily. Ty, one other thing on Vegas: temperature changes. I know you have a crew chief, and you got an unbelievable crew. Well, what is that like when you're in meetings and you're hearing about the sand that could be on the track? It's in a desert. The temperature could be hot. It could cool off as you get into the evening. How much do you look at that, or you just listen to the experts around you and just drive the car the best you can?
Yeah, well, we usually know what to expect going in to these tracks. We have a lot of telemetry and data going in behind it. So we are always really well prepared. My team does a great job of preparing, and we kind of just go in and go try to win every single weekend.
Excellent. I want to talk about your legendary grandfather, and to have a family, and especially with your grandfather, who was a Hall of Famer in the NFL. You weren't born for those Super Bowls, but when you look back, how do you consume that, the videos, YouTube, looking back? You've heard the stories, of course. Back then when they were the Redskins, now the Commanders, and were winning Super Bowls and playing in those rivalry games against the Cowboys. You're a really young guy. How did you learn about it? What's your fanaticism like with the NFL?
Yeah, I've always known about it. You know, nothing's really changed for me. I grew up in it, and knowing about it, I just know that that the last place I'd probably go in America is Philly, and especially the Eagles stand to go watch a game. You know, I definitely don't support them, but same with the Cowboys. But I grew up in it. I enjoy it. It was fun to be around it, and still am.
You know, Ty, that's funny you say that. You know, I grew up a big football fan back east, and the Eagles. I root against the Eagles still, and the Cowboys every year think they're going to the Super Bowl.
Pretty easy. I don't find it too hard for anybody to do that.
Yeah, I would think so. So that's good to hear. You know, I was talking to one of your agents here about what you've done for fun. You went to the Pro Bowl Riders event in New York City with Monster Energy early in January. And, you know, overall, what do you do when you're not in the car, when you're going out there to have fun and relax? What are some of your other hobbies?
I spend a lot of time in Colorado and in Utah. I love skiing, snowboarding, and kind of getting away. I love doing that stuff. So I enjoy that. I love being at home with my family, and I love my off time a lot. I like my private time. It's really special to me.
Growing up as a kid, before you got to the Cup Series and Infinity, who were your NASCAR heroes? Who were the drivers you looked up to?
I didn't really look up to too many NASCAR guys because I grew up around it. So it was kind of hard for me to do that. I just grew up around a lot of great athletes in my life. I really couldn't choose one person I really just looked up to. I loved all of them. I look up to all of them, and I appreciate all of them.
Awesome. Hey, lastly, before you go, tell us about your team, your sponsors. I love when NASCAR drivers do that because without them, you don't have the ability to go out and win and eventually dominate this sport. Who do you want to thank on the way out that really puts you in a position to win?
Yeah, of course, all my sponsors. Mainly Monster Energy. He gets us Interstate Batteries. I've got a lot of great people that are on my car and that support me in all different types of ways. So I know that I've got the best energy drink and behind me, and we really appreciate that, and they appreciate me a lot. So it's a fun deal.
Looking forward to meeting you. I'll see you out there at the track. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Yep.
You got it. There he is. Ty Gibbs joining us here. The grandson of Joe Gibbs, a really young guy, but excited that he could jump in here. He's 21 years old, as Bobby is smiling and laughing, okay? He's 21 years old. I don't remember, other than a football player, the last time I interviewed someone that young. I've taken calls that were young, but Ty Gibbs, the grandson of Joe Gibbs, he was in this race in Atlanta. He came in 10th, and I taped NASCAR Race Hub, and I watched the races. And again, I've been saying this all week as we're going to go to the race on Sunday. I love NASCAR. I really do. And he's a young kid, and eventually he's going to win a lot of races. He dominated on the Infinity Series and won the Cup there, and he's a good racer and was moved up at a very young age. And when you have a grandfather like Joe Gibbs, so the big question I wanted to ask him at the end about who was his NASCAR heroes, he shut me down. I thought he'd say Dale Earnhardt Jr. or he'd go to someone from Joe Gibbs Racing. No, it sounds like the football passion that he had as a kid. So he's a guy that could look at football players and say that those guys are the guys he grew up around. So he grew up around football players. He snowboards. He does all this, but he avoided the wreck at the end of that race. There were wrecks after wrecks and cautions, and he was able to get a top 10 there. And we've just had a couple of races here, everybody. We had the Daytona 500. You have Atlanta. Vegas is really up here, and he's 15th overall in points there, and that's a good place to be. Suarez won. If you look at who's going to win along the way, this is a super speedway. Also, he doesn't like the super speedways. He said he liked Vegas. I think he was just being kind. He didn't like that question either. He likes the short track, which is fine. He liked the short track. I don't want short track racing. I don't like when they just go around in a circle. I don't like when they go around in a tight circle. I like super speedways where they get to 200 miles an hour, and there could be, and I don't want to wreck, I don't want anybody to get killed or injured, but I like the speed of a super speedway and the roar of all these tracks, these cars coming down like a train. And the philosophy of your spotter and how you jump out and how you go and do something and how you move up. You got to move up with teammates. Bump drafting is a big part of this. So I'm happy we were able to talk to him heading into the weekend. Again, I got rugby on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. I'll go out to the track on Sunday there. So I got a big sports weekend. It's going to be a really big sports weekend for me with two sports that I have on my calendar. Every year, National Rugby League with those Australian teams, the four really good Australian teams at Allegiant Stadium. And then we'll jump on out there and head on out to NASCAR. Thanks to Jeff Motley and the entire team out there. Chris Powell, who we had on earlier in the week, as we're trying to sell tickets. We're a partnership here in town with Lotus Broadcasting. We want you to get you out to NASCAR. Going to bring my buddy J.O.D. I know Cisco and a few of the Black Hole guys are going. Should be a good time out there. Drive responsibly. Drink responsibly if you're out there. There's a lot of beverages being sold and people having a lot of fun at a NASCAR race. We continue here on this Friday live on Raider Nation Radio. It's a Combine week. Did a lot of Combine talk this week. My top 8 quarterbacks got you going. What could happen if the Raiders go for a veteran and a young quarterback, maybe not in the first round, maybe a Spencer Rattler or another quarterback there? Will that work? I don't know, but Raider fans are triggered. They want a quarterback. You want a quarterback and you want him instantly. Doesn't work that way. Tom Telesco's got a lot of work to do to go from 13 into the top 3 or top 5. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know the Raiders got some cash. I know the Raiders got some flexibility. They got some trade bait, some trade players that can move, and they have the ability to maybe shock the world and go get Jaden Daniels, maybe Drake May. I doubt Caleb Williams. Even Jameis Winston's name came up, a quarterback I like a lot. We'll continue with our Friday programming here from Lotus Broadcasting, right here on the flagship of the Silver and Black, brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. This is Raider Nation Radio. JT, welcome back as we wrap up our week here on the flagship of the Raiders, right here on Raider Nation Radio with Bobby here at the Lotus Studios today, where it was Employee Appreciation Day. And Bobby, round of applause to you. Bagels in the morning, some good snacks in the afternoon. Thanks to our partners who bring in the food. A lot of our partners here bring in the food on, I guess, the first day of the month. Is that it, Bobby? The first day of the month? People get fed real good around here, and we appreciate that because we got a great staff here. And I got a lot to get to here before we wrap it up here and head into the weekend. This week was all about Q and Vinny, who represented the station over in Indianapolis. Q's coming up next. I assume with Vinny, they've been on all week, and they're doing a big job from the combine. And what we're doing here is kind of the cleanup work. We're playing a lot of their sound. We're talking about what's coming out of the combine. And we've had a good week here, too. We had a combine or two guest on every day. From Indianapolis, Gilbert Manzano today, one of our friends and good guys there on the quarterbacks. And I'll get back to the quarterbacks momentarily. But a good week for Raider Nation Radio, also the Las Vegas Raiders and their podcast department and everybody who's been out there. There's a lot of good content at Raiders.com if you want to go look at it on the quarterbacks and some of the individuals who the Raiders were able to sit down with. Everybody sat down with the quarterbacks. The Raiders have sat down with defensive tackles, cornerbacks, linebackers, and all of that. And we'll find out what happens. I'm sure there's going to be a number of players, more than two or three, that the Raiders interviewed, saw at the scouting combine, and on top of that went to their pro day or went to the Senior Bowl and sat down with them and had extensive interviews. But there's only going to be a handful of players that actually come to Las Vegas to the facility for a workout. Maybe it's Jaden Daniels, maybe it's another quarterback or a defensive tackle. They're going to come here and the Raiders are going to go to their pro day, and that partnership potentially is going to grow. And the camaraderie of sitting down and having multiple interviews with that said player could be the reason why Tom Telesco trades up. And by trading up, it doesn't have to be in the first round. A trade up could be that the Raiders in the third round move up to the late second round and go get a player that they interviewed and went to their pro day. I thought Dave Ziegler did a nice job last year with that. Remember Michael Mayer? That the first round ended, and the Raiders went to bed that night and couldn't sleep because they wanted Michael Mayer. And they traded up early into the second round and got him. And I think Michael Mayer better be a cornerstone to this organization this year. With everybody talking about the Raiders and quarterback, and what are they going to do, Michael Mayer better play a bigger role, everybody. And that's on Luke Getsy, who I think is going to love a tight end because they want to run the ball. And the tight end, Michael Mayer, is going to be able to block and going to be able to catch the ball and be also a disguise at times. But the Raiders have to hit the ground in week one, not the preseason, week one with Michael Mayer being featured in this offense right there like Devontae Adams. If Josh Jacobs is here, please use Michael Mayer. Don't wait 3 or 4 years. I was talking with the Raiders the other day about Jason Witten. Who's the next Raider to get into the Hall of Fame? And we're sitting there. Marshawn Lynch is going to be available. Okay, he's going into the Hall of Fame as a Seahawk. But he came to the Raiders at the end of his career, and he was pretty productive. Don't forget Jason Witten. Because when you're inside the Raiders stadium at Allegiant or in their building, in their meeting room, they got Warren Sapp. They got Randy Moss. They do. They have Ron Mix. They have players who played the majority of their career, Richard Seymour, for another team. But if they played for the Raiders and they went to the Hall of Fame, they are featured in the Raiders practice facility headquarters and at the stadium. And the next guy for that is Jason Witten. Jason Witten is a lock to go to the Hall of Fame. Lock. He's going in as a Dallas Cowboy, but he played for the Raiders. Remember when Richard Seymour got into the Hall of Fame? I was in the crowd. And he was speaking about the Raiders. I was like, what's going on here, man? He's spending a lot of time talking about the Raiders. Well, the Raiders had an impact on Richard Seymour's career, and now Richard Seymour was in the hiring meetings. And he's high up within the Raider organization now because the Raiders made an impression on him as a businessman and an alumni of the NFL. The Raiders do a much better job than the Patriots with their alumni department. It's not even close. They'll tell you that. Randy Moss doesn't take advantage of it because Randy Moss doesn't like the Raiders and never wants to be associated with the Raiders when fans scream at it on TV. Richard Seymour does, and so does Jason Witten. So getting back to Witten, when he came to the Cowboys, they used him early and often, and then they used him a lot. That's what's got to happen with Michael Mayer. Use him early in year two and let him potentially be a Pro Bowler. He's not going to be a Pro Bowler, most likely, because the league's got six or seven tight ends who are elite, who get, you know, 100 receptions. Waller had it a few years ago, 85. I'm not saying that Mayer's got to get 85 receptions, but why not? In an offense that might be a little bit more ball control and on the ground and running it with Luke Getsky and then possibly getting the ball out to Michael Mayer. Just get him the ball and get him the ball early. But when it comes to what's going to happen here at the quarterback position, this is from CBS HQ. I think it was Josina Anderson and someone else earlier today when they sat down with Jaden Daniels.
Because you had your relationship with Antonio Pierce, obviously back to your days at Arizona State, your recruiting coordinator.
And Jaden,
now,
and
the thing
really
that's probably interesting, too, is the teams that potentially could come up for you.
Him to Arizona
what do you think
State?
Is the potential that AP, you know, he's talking about how much he knows you,
story.
Could potentially come up for you?
Man, we're going to
change this week.
We
are going to see. New England couldn't want him at three.
AP is a great guy. He's the right guy for the job, man.
Could now, as of today,
if he did, and
sure
I hear my name called on draft day,
like
I hear
pendulum
my,
has
hear my phone
shifted
call,
to the
ring,
number two pick,
AP.
Jaden,
you know, I don't
Daniels,
know what I'll do. So
instead
we'll
of Drake
see,
May.
But
I don't know. Drake
right now,
May,
you know, I'm just blessed. I'll take it day by day. I'll let everybody handle that.
What he can do outside the pocket.
That's what they're for.
Just a great running quarterback,
the best player, the best version of myself.
If you just go with Jaden Daniels' stats over Drake May, it shouldn't be close, but there is some interest overall with Drake May being in the pocket. I go back to Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck could run, but he was a great pocket passer. Andrew Luck was built like a bull. Sam Darnold, similar, but not as big as Andrew Luck. And Drake May looks like a baby Andrew Luck. Well, go back in the hot tub time machine. Everybody wanted Andrew Luck. So I figured he'd go number two, but from following all the combine news of the week and the talk and what they've been saying on NFL Network, there seems to be a shift to Jaden Daniels at number two to Washington. So how expensive will it be for the Raiders and Tom Telesco to go from 13, not to three, and the Patriots, but to two? So let's just say for this conversation on this Friday that Caleb Williams goes number one, Drake May goes number two, Patriots are at number three, and they have Jaden Daniels set to go. If the Raiders want him that bad, they got to call up the Patriots and offer two first-round picks. So they're going to offer up this pick, the 13th pick, to move to three, and then an additional two first-round picks in the future. That's a lot, but I would do it. I would do that because I'm a fan behind the microphone. I don't know if Tom Telesco is going to do that. And I doubt the Patriots are going to pass on Jaden Daniels after what we're seeing this week. The other story on Caleb Williams, there are some idiots. I tweeted it out. If you can go to JT the Brick on Twitter, there was some just, let me mark my words carefully. There was just some total idiot today at the combine who yelled. The first question to Caleb Williams was, why won't you compete and give the medicals? You know, basically, what are you afraid of? The first question Caleb Williams was ever asked in his career, his life at the combine. Some guy who should have had his credential ripped off his neck and a security guard should have dragged him out of Lucas Oil Stadium because of his tone and his stupidity. And as I tweeted out, we're getting so bad in media that people are in the press box and people are at the combine who don't have radio shows, don't write columns. They might have a blog. They might be on a podcast. No, that's not the way it works. What are you doing to provide content to the NFL? Again, are you on TV? Are you a journalist? Are you a radio host? You're not, get out of the building. If you're not a journalist writing for a newspaper or a successful website like The Athletic, if you don't have a radio show, and if you're not on TV, because we love people who are on TV. In this country, TV celebrities are our royalty. We don't have a king and queen, but if we do, they'd be on TV here. If you don't have a real job, you don't get a credential to go to a Raider game or go to Lucas Oil Stadium and ask dumb questions. There was a knucklehead who did it today. And I thought Caleb Williams' answer was fine. He's not going to play for all 32 teams. He's probably only going to play for one. And those that's the team that will get his medicals. You're not going to sit there and give his medicals to the Jaguars or the Lions. Why? So they could look at his medicals and go through his private medical history? No. They're going to be shared to everybody else. And Caleb Williams doesn't have to go sit down. He can turn down meetings with certain teams that have quarterbacks. Like, why would Caleb Williams go sit down with the Jets with Aaron Rodgers? No. You turn that down. You go sit down with the Raiders, who might trade up to number one, or the Patriots. Obviously, the Bears and some of these other teams. So those are one of the things that got me going today. But I think Caleb Williams is the only player, as we discussed this week, who deserves three first-round picks. And maybe Jaden Daniels does too. If I'm off by a first-round pick, you know where to find me. But I think that Jaden Daniels and Drake May are worthy of two first-round picks, and then Caleb, three, and maybe four. And I'm telling you, the Washington Commanders won Caleb Williams bad, and they're at number two. And if they go from two to one, so Chicago would drop from one to two, so Chicago would have the second pick overall, which is great. They can still trade that pick. And so say Chicago gets the number two pick. Follow me here, because I talked about this last night. Let's say Chicago trades out of number one and trades to two. The Washington Commanders tell Ryan Pohl, we're going to give you three first-round picks of the Washington Commanders. And then Chicago goes to number two. And then the Raiders call it number two and say, you obviously didn't want Caleb, so you're going to stay with Justin Fields. Or maybe this, we'll trade into number two. We'll give you three first-round picks for Jaden Daniels. If that happens, I'm good with that. If Tom Telesco agrees with that, I'm fine with it. Why would I butt heads with Tom Telesco, who does this for a living? But I'm sensing after today that number one to Chicago is going to be Caleb Williams. Number two to Washington will be Jaden Daniels. And number three to the Patriots will be Drake May. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And then we can get into Marvin Harrison and Rome Odunze. Rome, who went here to Bishop Gorman, could go to the Giants at number six. So you got a heavy wide receiver draft, one of the best wide receiver classes we've seen. The quarterbacks are going to fly off the board. Oh, and oh, that's it. J.J. McCarthy. Talked to a fan today, my buddy Thomas, who I reach out to, who's really educated on the Raiders. I said, what do you think about this J.J. McCarthy to the Raiders? He goes, I like it. I like it a lot. How could you not like J.J. McCarthy? Won the national championship. He served under Jim Harbaugh the last 3 years, went to quarterback class with Harbaugh every day. And if he drops at number 13, he said to me, JT, what do you think? I said, all day. All day. J.J. McCarthy is going to go somewhere between 10 and 20. If he drops to the Raiders at 13, would I take him over Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix? Yeah. And if J.J. McCarthy's gone and Bo Nix is there at 13, would I be happy with Bo Nix? Yeah, I think I'd be happy with Bo Nix. I might take a defensive tackle before that, but if Bo Nix is there and Tom Telesco worked him out and went to his pro day and thinks he's ready to go against Aiden O'Connell or Michael Penix Jr., who I think, because of his injuries, might drop down a little bit further than that, I want to get a quarterback. So does Antonio Pierce. He's told everybody that he wants to go get a quarterback. So we're all on the same page there. So that was the week. I can't wait to hear for a little bit what Vinny has to say about this, and especially Q, because I wasn't there. They're there, and they're doing a great job. Q's coming up here in a few minutes. A couple of housekeeping items today. So I got a couple of cool things I wanted to tell you about. Last night, I was welcomed to go down to Fremont Street, the 3rd Street stage, and I was one of the MCs. They had a couple. They had a gal from Australia who was anchoring it all, and then they brought me up to introduce the coach from all four of the rugby teams and ask a couple of questions and one of their star players. I've never done that before. I played rugby in college for 4 years, but these are professional rugby players from Australia. So when I got there, the crowd was small. By the time I got on stage, there were thousands of people there, mostly from Australia. So reportedly, there are 14,000 fans from Australia that booked hotel rooms and are in town, and I saw them last night. And you want to talk about being humble? Yeah, I'm just a radio guy, man. On the totem pole of life, don't move me too far up. But they introduced me last night from Raiders Radio, JT the Brick. You could hear a pin drop, and I laughed about it because no one there was supposed to know me. Everybody there was from Australia. 99% of the people were there. They gave a nice quiet round of applause, and I said, welcome to the home of the Raider Nation. The crowd got a little bit louder. And we did that. And I was backstage with these rugby guys, and they're ripped. They're ripped. I mean, these guys all look like, hard to describe, like Jakob Johnson. They look like a fullback, all of them, with ripped muscles and the most fit and conditioned athletes playing rugby. So I'll be there on Saturday for both games at Allegiant Stadium. Got a chance to meet the people behind rugby. Want to thank Rob Cornelius and our team that was down there, Eric Rodriguez. And it wasn't intimidating. I've been on stages. I've been in front of 50, 60,000 fans at Raider games with a microphone. But last night was pretty cool. I haven't been down to Fremont Street in a long time. Long time I haven't been on Fremont Street. I've been downtown, but not on Fremont Street. And it was cool. The energy that was coming back to me on the stage when I said, oh, let's talk to Ryan Garrick, and he's from the Brisbane Broncos or whatever team he was from. And the crowd went loud, and it was simulcast live in Australia. Just thanks for being a part of that. That was something I could check off my box. And then today I was driving in the car early this morning, and I got a phone call from Max Crosby's agent, who's running his foundation, and he asked me to MC Max Crosby's foundation gala with Max and his wife on March 14th. And I said, wow, oh my God, thank you. You know how much Max means to me. I was one of the first guys to cover Max when he came in via Oakland Raider before Las Vegas now, and everything that's happened along the way with Max and his foundation. It's the first time he's had it. So that event's going to be March 14th at UFC Apex, the USFC headquarters. And they were telling me about this and the partners who are going to be involved. And JT, we'd like you to help. They asked me to sell tickets, sell tables. So all the information's going out. I tweeted it out today. You can buy a table. How do you not buy a table for this? And be a part of Max Crosby's first ever foundation tickets. All that information, you can go to Max. Follow Max and Max Crosby's foundation on Twitter. And they have all the details. So I was talking to Bert, and I said, what's the point? What are we doing that night? What is it? And he goes, well, we're giving an award out to Dana White. I said, wow, Dana White. He's the first recipient of Max Crosby's foundation. He's getting the award. They're honoring Dana White. Well, you all know Dana and how big he is and what he's done philanthropy-wise in this community, how he's built and continued to maintain before the Fertittas sold UFC and what they're doing now. I think the world of Dana White. So Dana White is the person that's going to be highlighted that night. And, of course, Max's wife and the foundation. So I would hope that everybody would meet me there on March 14th at UFC Apex, help out Max and his foundation, and it should be great. And the Raiders are involved with it, so you'll have a big Raider vibe there. I don't know who's coming from the Raiders, but wink, wink, it'll be big. And Dana White will be honored, so you know UFC will have a massive presence there. So that was a nice way for me to end my weekend and, kick off everything and get that honor. And, hopefully I can do that for your company. I help out with a bunch of other events here in town and MC some events. But that one was something that I didn't know was coming, and it was a lot of fun, and I was excited to find that out today. And I hope that you can attend, and I'll have more details on that. We'll have Max on. And we're going to support the Max Crosby Foundation because Max has done everything right in this town. Everything right. And Darren Waller, remember when he kicked off his foundation, Darren did everything right in this town, walking the tunnels, doing everything for the homeless. And Max, everything that Max is about, I want to be a part of. I want to be associated with it on a charity basis. Max does podcasts and Max plays football and Max does a bunch of other things. But to be involved with his foundation, it's a really big honor. So let's get behind Mad Max and talk about what he's doing. And I'm going to be pounding this pretty heavy here because as we look at the calendar today at March 1st, this is at March 14th, we have a lot of proud partners on this show and a lot of other people who are listening who have a lot of money. I would hope that you would go out and buy a table, buy a ticket, and be a part of Max Crosby's foundation event. I think it'll be a home run. And I'm known for keeping things going fast. So I'll start it. I'll introduce people. I'll step aside. I'm not a comedian. I'm not a magician. I don't play guitar. I just get up on and off stage and introduce people, and we'll have a great night. I'm sure there'll be a massive silent auction and all that going on. So how's that? how long was that? About 20 minutes of talking about cool things. Rugby in town, NASCAR, Max Crosby's foundation, the quarterbacks, as I'll warm you up to get ready for Q, who's on the big stage as he's there with Vinny, and they've done a wonderful job all week at Lucas Oil Stadium. Also, my son, I want to give a shout out to my son. I don't talk about my family much, but I have been talking about my sons lately. My son got home last night from ASU for break, and my son's at the Combine because one of his great friends, Jaden Hicks from Washington State, is there, and he went to support him. And now my son left, and he's on a plane to Dallas to do other work there, so I'm proud of him. I want to bring that up as we head into the weekend. Thanks to all of our proud partners. Thanks to Bobby, who did everything great this week. We are back on Monday. And I'm sure Monday, after the Combine is over, after NASCAR is over, after rugby is over, I'll have a lot to say. Again, get out to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I'll see you out there on Sunday. Hopefully the sun is out. It's a little bit breezy. Everybody's having a great time for NASCAR. And that'll be a good weekend. I'm excited for the weekend. Oh, my bucket of Modellos. I'm looking at it now. Oh, Modelo. Oh, my bucket of Modelos. I'm going to have two today. Two ice-cold, dripping wet Modelos on ice and celebrate the weekend. Thanks for listening to Raider Nation Radio.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.